It's a pleasure to be here today to discuss our recent report on international infant mortality comparisons. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, TJ Matthews, Ashna Mahanku, and Jennifer Ziedlin. We have nothing to disclose. After a plateau from 2000 to 2005, the U.S. infant mortality rate declined by 13%, from 6.86 infant deaths per 1,000 live births in 2005 to 5.98 in 2012. The percentage of preterm births also declined by 9% from 2006 to 2012. Yet the United States international infant mortality ranking did not improve during this period. In 2010, the U.S. ranked 26th in infant mortality among Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development countries. The U.S. infant mortality rate was more than twice that in Finland, Japan, Portugal, and Sweden. Still, with the recent declines in U.S. infant mortality and preterm birth, the time seemed right for a new analysis of the components of international infant mortality rankings. Thus, the objective of this study is to investigate the reasons for the United States' high infant mortality rate when compared with European countries. European data is from the second European Perinatal Health Report, which uses 2010 data. U.S. data is from the National Center for Health Statistics Linked Birth and Infant Death dataset for 2010. Because most European countries use the obstetric estimate of gestation to measure gestational age, we use the obstetric estimate for the U.S. data as well to simplify international comparisons. Live births and infant deaths at less than 24 weeks of gestation are excluded to ensure international comparability. This is not meant to minimize the importance of these early infant deaths, which contribute substantially to the U.S. infant mortality rate. Rather, this approach recognizes that accurate international comparisons may not be possible for events at less than 24 weeks of gestation. Not all countries were able to supply all of the needed data for all comparisons. Therefore, the countries included in each comparison are those that were able to supply the needed data. Kitagawa analysis is a further refinement of direct standardization, and it was used to estimate the percent contribution of differences in gestational age-specific infant mortality rates and the percentage of preterm births to the overall difference in infant mortality rates between countries. When births at less than 24 weeks of gestation were excluded, the U.S. infant mortality rate was 4.2 infant deaths per 1,000 live births in 2010. This rate was about twice the rate for Finland, Sweden, and Denmark, the countries with the lowest rates. Infant mortality rates were lower for 9 of the 11 European countries studied, while rates for Poland and Northern Ireland were a bit higher. The overall infant mortality rate can be partitioned into two key components. One, gestational age-specific infant mortality rates. In other words, the mortality rate for infants at a given gestational age. And two, the distribution of births by gestational age. First, let's look at gestational age-specific infant mortality rates for different periods of gestation. This figure compares infant mortality rates between the United States and Europe for the tiniest infants born at 24 to 27 weeks of gestation. You can see that the United States compares favorably with European countries in the survival of these very small babies. Four countries had lower infant mortality rates than the U.S. for these tiny babies, while seven countries had higher rates. For infants born at 28 to 31 weeks of gestation, still very small, the U.S. is right in the middle. Four countries have lower infant mortality rates, and three countries have higher rates. However, for moderately and late preterm infants at 32 to 36 weeks of gestation, the U.S. infant mortality rate is second highest among the countries studied. Only Poland has a higher infant mortality rate at 32 to 36 weeks. And for infants born at 37 weeks of gestation or more, the U.S. infant mortality rate was highest compared to European countries. In fact, the U.S. infant mortality rate for these large full-term babies was twice that of the six lowest countries. The other important factor affecting infant mortality differences is the percentage of infants born preterm, that is, before 37 completed weeks of gestation. In 2010, after births at less than 24 weeks were excluded, 9.8% of U.S. babies were born preterm. This is using the obstetric estimate rather than LMP-based estimates. And this was the highest percentage among the 19 countries studied. The percentage of preterm births in the U.S. was 40% higher than in England and Wales, and 69 to 75% higher than Finland, Ireland, and Sweden. In other words, despite the recent decline in preterm births in the U.S., 1 in 10 American babies were born preterm in 2010, compared to 1 in 17 in Finland, Ireland, and Sweden, and 1 in 16 in Norway and Denmark. And because preterm births have a higher risk of death and disability than full-term births, countries with a higher percentage of preterm births tend to have higher infant mortality rates. We use Kitagawa analysis to estimate the percent contribution of various factors to the higher U.S. infant mortality rate when compared with Sweden. Sweden was chosen as the reference country because it was the country with the lowest infant mortality rate that also supplied all of the data needed for the comparison. 39% of the United States' higher infant mortality rate when compared with Sweden was due to its higher percentage of preterm births. 47% of the difference was due to the higher U.S. infant mortality rate for infants born at 37 weeks of gestation or more. We looked at other factors, but they actually contributed very little to the overall difference. For example, even though the U.S. infant mortality rate at 32 to 36 weeks of gestation was second highest among the countries studied, this higher rate contributed only 6% to the overall difference. So we've known for several years about the unfavorable effect of high preterm birth rates on the U.S. infant mortality rate. However, the large impact of higher infant mortality rate for large full-term babies that presumably should do well, I think, is a pretty new finding with important policy implications. We used the Kitagawa analysis to compute what the U.S. infant mortality rate would be under various modeling assumptions. If the U.S. could reduce its percentage of preterm births to Sweden's levels, the U.S. infant mortality rate, excluding births at less than 24 weeks, would decline by 19% to a rate of 3.4. This would result in over 3,200 fewer infant deaths than actually occurred in 2010. Alternatively, if the U.S. could reduce its infant mortality rate for infants at 37 weeks of gestation or more to Sweden's levels, the U.S. infant mortality rate would decline by 24% to 3.2, and nearly 4,100 infant deaths would be averted. And if both factors could be reduced to Sweden's levels, the U.S. infant mortality rate would decline by 43% to 2.4, and nearly 7,300 infant deaths would be averted. To investigate the reasons for the U.S.'s high infant mortality rate at 37 weeks of gestation or more, we looked at the leading causes of infant death for this group. The leading cause of death was congenital anomalies, which accounted for 30% of deaths. Second was sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS, accounting for 20% of deaths, followed by unintentional injuries with 11% and homicide with 3%. All other causes accounted for 36% of deaths. Of these causes, SIDS, unintentional injuries, and homicide are generally considered to be partly or largely preventable. And these three causes taken together accounted for 34% of infant deaths in this gestational age category. Thus, there is a great deal of room for improvement in infant mortality for these larger babies. So in conclusion, since 2005, the U.S. has made important progress in reducing both infant mortality and preterm birth. However, despite this progress, the U.S. international infant mortality ranking has not improved. The U.S. infant mortality rate remains higher than for most European countries, even after births at less than 24 weeks are excluded. The U.S. compares favorably with Europe in the survival of very preterm infants. However, the comparison becomes less favorable as gestational age increases. The U.S. infant mortality rate at 37 weeks of gestation or more was the highest among the countries studied, and about twice that for Scandinavia. The U.S.'s percentage of preterm births was highest among the 19 countries studied. In 2010, 1 in 10 U.S. infants were born preterm, compared to 1 in 17 in Finland, Ireland, and Sweden. About 39% of the U.S.'s higher infant mortality rate when compared to Sweden was due to our higher percentage of preterm births, while 47% was due to the higher U.S. infant mortality rate at 37 weeks of gestation or more. Many of these deaths of larger, full-term babies are from preventable causes. So declines in either the percentage of preterm births or mortality rates for infants born at 37 weeks of gestation or more would substantially lower the U.S. infant mortality rate. And if both of these factors could be reduced to Sweden's levels, the U.S. infant mortality rate would be reduced from 4.2 to 2.4, a decline of 43%. This would represent nearly 7,300 U.S. infant deaths averted in 2010. And the report that this presentation is based on is available on the NCHS website, and there should be some copies in the back of the room. Thank you.